نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليس البر ان تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من امن بالله واليوم الاخر والملائكه والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين. You must be remembering that in the last session we read a few translations of this grand ayah of the Quran, that is Ayat al-Bir, ayah number 177 of Surah al-Baqarah, translated by Muhammad Barbeduk Pikthal, Allama Muhammad Asad, and lastly Maulana Baduri. Then I made four preliminary points and also said that with these four preliminary points the real essence of the lesson of this ayah becomes very complete and very evident and very clear. First point, that this is one of the larger and bigger ayahs of the Quran. As compared to Surah Al-Asr, it is 3.5 times more in volume. In size, it's more than 20 surahs of the Quran. Number two, it's the most appropriate lesson number two of this selected course of study, because the four prerequisites which were given in Surah Al-Asr for the success and salvation on the Day of Judgment, three of them are mentioned here, and not only mentioned but some details are also given. And the fourth one, the third condition, although it is not mentioned here in express words, but it is there in the implied form. We find that one word of Iman in Surah Al-Asr, here we have five articles of Iman, five articles of faith, as if a bud has now opened and exfoliated, and five petals of the flower, they are now evident and visible. Iman Billah, Iman Bil-Akhirah, Iman Bil-Malaika, Iman Bil-Kutub, Iman Bil-Abbiya. Then Amal Salih, there are three branches, main branches of that Amal Salih given in this ayah. Number one, charity to the poor, to the needy. Number two, modes of worship, Salah and Zakah. Huququllah, the rights of Allah over man. And number three, the human relations based on some sort of contract or promises. So, Ifai Ahad, fulfilling the promises that can actually streamline the whole human relations. And lastly, sabr. Three places where sabr is needed, where patience and fortitude is tested. That is, in days of hunger and need, in case of physical or mental torture, infliction, and lastly, in the case of war, when you have to risk your lives. So actually, it's a sort of an exfoliation of Surah Al-Asr that we have in this ayah. Third point that I made was the subject and topic. Negation of a limited and superficial and maybe perverted concept of virtue. And then presentation of a full, comprehensive concept of what virtue is. What is real piety? What is real good? What is real charity? And here we find a full human character portrayed, in whom the spirit of piety has permeated the whole personality, and it is manifest from every aspect of his life and behavior. And the fourthly was, what was the incident in the background? That was Tahwilul Qibla. So these things we have already discussed, and then we started. Number one, what is Bir? I told you that as opposed and compared to Bahr, sea, one feels more secure at Bar, at the land. So that internal sense of security and peace, that is actually the essence of this world. I should further elaborate on this point, that whatever we do, all our actions and deeds can be divided into two categories. Either we are acting out of some urges which come from us, from our animal instincts. We feel hungry, we have to eat. We feel some sexual desire and we respond to it, and so on. So there are either the animal instincts, the id or libido, which compels us to act, to do something. And the other aspect of our personality is our soul, our spirit. It also needs some activity. So the actions and deeds which we perform only for spiritual pleasure, not for any pleasure of our id or libido or animal instincts, you know, not the sensual gratification, but the inner pleasure, the inner happiness of our souls, that is actually bir. So that is the essence of this word. And I quoted that poetry from English language. Charity is the soothe and heal and bless, are scattered over the feet of man like flowers. No mystery is here, no special boon, for the high and not for the low. The smoke ascends as high from the hearth of a humble cottage as from that of a haughty palace. It's a very beautiful simile, that there is a palace of a very big person, a big mansion, and there is also fire is burning in the kitchen, and smoke is ascending. And if there is a very small, humble cottage, there also there is some fire and smoke is ascending. So these actions and good deeds which ascend upwards towards heavens to please our Creator, our God, they have been equally distributed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all His creatures. A poor man can also be charitable. As I told you, if somebody has only one loaf of bread to eat and nothing else, and if he shares half with someone who is hungry, he is doing his bit. He will have that pleasure, that charity that soothes and heals and blesses. He will have his part. If there is some millionaire and he donates so many $100,000, well, he might not be doing as much a big task as the person who parted with half of the loaf of the only that he had with him. So these things as regards the standards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are different. He sees to quality, not to quantity. Maybe from quality wise, a very small action and deed might be more rewarding in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a very big action or deed quantity wise. So now that is the essence of the word bir. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. I told you a mistake has been committed by many translators here. And they have given the wording as if, which prove that this form of turning your faces towards east or west is absolutely out of the pale of or scope of charity. It's wrong. The other deen, on every action, every good deed, has two aspects, the spirit and the form. The form is also important, but the only mistake is that too much importance is attached to the form and the spirit is ignored or forgotten. That is wrong. But you need the spirit as well as the form. So the translation which was made by Muhammad Asad, I take that to be correct. And the same translation has been done by Maulana Minasar Islahi. I suppose that most of Allama Asad, he was an Austrian Jew and he accepted Islam at very early age. And he lived for a very long time among the Bedouins of the Arabian desert in their tents in the deserts. He learned Arabic very intimately, very closely. Then he became a personal friend of the founder of the Saudi dynasty and Saudi kingdom, Malik Abdul Aziz ibn Saud. He was a personal friend of Malik Abdul Aziz ibn Saud. After Malik Abdul Aziz died, then he lived for very long in Morocco and died there. It's only a few years when he died, I think, not more than 10 years. when he died. And he has translated, you know, because he had very intimate and deep knowledge of English, of Arabic language. Although there are some, you know, misinterpretations due to his Western thinking and Western upbringing, some points he has misinterpreted, no doubt, especially about riba. But the translation that he has done, as far as I have seen, mostly his translation is most correct and to the point. And here he has used the word, the piety does not consist in turning your faces towards the east or the west. But truly pious is he who believes in God. So actually, we should say that the real piety, real virtue, is not turning the faces towards east or west. But this act is included in piety. It is also included in the Sharia. You have to face in the direction which the Sharia has decided for us to face in praying. So, لَيْسَ الْبِرْضَ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. I can't go into details of the grammar rules which tell us that this is the correct translation and the other one that is generally done is wrong. But I have that before me, but I don't think these things can be understood here, because in nominal clauses, which are composed of two things, the subject and the predicate, the subject is usually marfu and it is marfa with alif lam. And predicate in Arabic is usually, it is nakira, it is common noun, not proper noun, and it is also marfa. Here in this ayah, because there is another ayah in the Quran, and this word appears in marfu form, and that is laysal birru bi an taatul buyuta min zuhuriha walakinnal birra man ittaqa. There the word is birru, not birra. Here it is laysal birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al mashriq wal maghrib. So laysal birru an taatul buyuta min zuhuriha. This was a wrong custom with the Arabs of Makkah, that once they left their homes for hajj, having taken upon themselves the ihram, if now, due to some need, they had to go back to their houses, they thought that now we cannot enter our homes or houses from the doors. They used to go from the backs. So that was wrong. It was not at all required by the Sharia. So actually there was the negation complete. لَيْسَلْ بِرُّ أَنْ تَعْتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. It's not at all required. It's not at all included in piety. It's not at all required by the Sharia that you should not enter your houses if you have once come out of your houses with ihram. If there is some need and you have to go back, you can. وَاتُ الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. You can enter your homes from their front doors. So there the negation is complete. Here, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ. Actually, this is the predicate which has been used instead of that subject. It has been taken first. And this is actually meaning that all piety, all virtue doesn't consist of turning your faces towards east or the west. But nonetheless, this is also a part of the Sharia. You have to turn your faces to a fixed direction which has been given to you by the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيْسَ الْبِرْضُ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. And now we come to the positive side. After negating this, now what's the positive side that this ayah is giving us? What is virtue? What are the constituent parts of virtue? What is the spirit of virtue? And what is the manifestation of virtue? And out of the different manifestations, which one is more important? Which comes first? Which comes second? Which comes next? So actually, as I told you, a full human character has been portrayed here. And as we see, the first thing is وَلَاكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنْ. Here a word is understood, mahzoof, which is implied. وَلَاكِنَّ الْبِرَّ بِرُّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. The real virtue, the real piety, the real righteousness is the righteousness of a person who has faith, who has belief in Allah, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, and the last day, that is the day of judgment, wal malaikate, and the angels, wal kitabe, and the book, wal nabiyyin, and the prophets. Now, we must think about this part of the ayah first before proceeding forward. First of all, Here we have found, as I told you in the very beginning, five articles of faith, five articles of Iman. There are different ayat in which there is some difference in enumeration of these articles of faith. But this is one of the comprehensive ayat which gives us Iman Billah, Iman Bil Akhirah, Iman Bil Malaika, Iman Bil Kutub. Here the word is used, Kitab, I will explain it later. And Iman Bil Anbiya. Now we can divide actually these five things into three main categories. First is faith in Allah, Iman Billah, or we may call it Tawheed. This is one full article of faith, the most basic. This is the most fundamental of the articles of faith. All the other articles of Iman may be taken as to be corollaries of this very fundamental Iman. That is why we find Al-Imanul Mujmal. Only Iman Billah has been mentioned. آمنتو باللہ کما ہوا بأسمائه وصفاته وقبلتو جميع احکامه اقرار باللسان وتصدیق بالقلب. Essentially and primarily Iman consists of Iman Billah and Tawheed. But then when we read Al-Iman Al-Mufassal, as has been given in the Hadith, آمنتو باللہ وملائکته وکتبه ورسله والیوم الآخر والقدر خیره وشره من اللہ تعالی والبعث بعد الموت. So this is the enunciation of Iman that has been given by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, which is one of the most fundamental ahadith, most important, because the muhaddithin have given it the name of Ummul Sunnah, just as Suratul Fatiha is Ummul Quran. In the same way, this Hadith of Jibreel is the Ummul Sunnah. But I was saying that we can divide into three. One, Iman Billah, that is Tawheed. Second, Iman Bil Akhirah. Now, Iman Bil Akhirah includes so many things. Resurrection after death, number one. Then being collected at one place, Hashr. Then accountability of the Day of Judgment, the Yawmul Akhir, that the Day of Judgment. Then you know the reward, either to the paradise or to the hell. So all these articles joined together, they go to form Iman Bil Akhirah. As in a very famous sermon which the Prophet ﷺ delivered in his very early days of his mission, when he gathered his kith and kin, all the Bani Hashim, he gathered and entertained them to a feast, and then he stood up, because the commandment had came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَانْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you warn your close kith and kin, your close relatives. So he asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to prepare a feast and invite all the Bani Hashim. So when these people came and they had taken their food, and then the Prophet stood up to address them, they made some, so to say, noise, and they hooted, and they never heard, and they never allowed Muhammad to speak and utter even a single word. So that attempt came to be a failure, so to say, worldly failure. But then after a few days gap, the Prophet again asked Hazrat Ali to prepare for another feast. Then people again gathered, they again took the wheels, and then I think they felt ashamed that now we have taken food twice. Now we should give him a chance and let him speak and hear to him. And then he delivered that famous sermon. That famous sermon contains in the end, وَاللَّهِ لَتَمُوتُنَّ كَمَا تَنَامُونَ ثُمَّ لَتَبْعَثُنَّ كَمَا تَسْتَيْقِظُونَ ثُمَّ لَتُحْسَبُنَّ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ ثُمَّ لَتُجْزَمُنَّ بِالْإِحْسَانِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِالسُّوءِ سُوءًا. وَإِنَّهَا لَجَنَّةٌ أَبَدًا أَوْ لَنَارٌ أَبَدًا. By God, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will die, all of them, and then all of them will be resurrected. You will die just as you sleep every evening, every night. And you will be resurrected just as you awake in the morning, get up in the morning every day. And then you will have to face the accountability of the Day of Judgment. ثُمَّ لَتُحْسَبُنَّ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And then you will be rewarded. Bil ihsan ihsanam wa bis su'i su'a. Reward of good with good. And reward of bad with bad. With bad punishment. Wa innaha la jannatun abada aw la narun abada. And what is it? Either the heaven or paradise forever or the hell forever. So actually all these five things, when you take them together, it is Iman Bil Akhirah. Now the three things which are mentioned later, They go to make one thing, and that is Iman on the institution of prophethood and messengerhood of Allah. Because Malaika, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, is also from the Malaika. He brought the revelation to the Prophet. And the record of that revelation is the book. So the angel who brought the revelation, the recorded revelation in the form of a book, and the person to whom that revelation came, these three things, they are joined together in one, and that is Iman bil Risala. Iman bil Malaika, Iman bil Wahi, Iman bil Kutub, Iman bil Anbiya, Iman bil Rusul, alayhim salatu wassalam. It is all taken together and we call it Iman bil Risala. Now we have to think, what is the relationship between piety, between virtue and Iman? That is something very important. Why? Because every action, at least every human action, or at least every action of a normal and healthy human being has two aspects. The external manifestation of that action or deed, and the motivation behind it. Why he is doing it? There is some purpose, there is some motivation, there is something which is aimed at. So actually these two things are essential to every act and deed. And unless the intentions are pure, unless the motivation is correct, unless the purpose is correct, and as we call it in Arabic, unless the niyyah is okay, the action, although it might appear to be a very high act of charity, a very big good, a very decent work, but if the intentions are wrong, if the motivation is wrong, if the purpose is wrong, if the niyyah, this is the religious term, if that is wrong, it might appear to be a very good action, but it is evil of the highest order. As I quoted you the hadith, Man salla yurai faqad ashraka. Wa man sama yurai faqad ashraka. Wa man tasaddaqa yurai faqad ashraka. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever is praying to show off to the people his piety, that he loves Allah very much and he prays and he establishes salah, he needs admiration from the people, he has committed shirk, the worst sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unpardonable. Inna Allah la yaghfiru yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna zalika liman yasha. And here the words have been used, qad ashraka. Absolute, surely, he has committed shirk if he has prayed only to show off. And whosoever is giving alms to the others, charity, feeding the poor, but the purpose is something else, not to please Allah, not to get the reward in the hereafter, but to have the praise from the people, to have a good name here. So actually, he has committed shirk. وَمَنْ صَامَ يُرَائِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. Whosoever kept a fast, but only to show off his piety, he has committed a sin. So that is the importance of niyyah in Islam. Now motivation actually is controlled and decided by the Weltanschauung or the philosophy or the ideology of a person. Now what is Iman? Iman billah and Iman bil akhirah. They give the correct motivation for some good action and good deed and some virtuous act. That is, every action which appears to be virtuous, good action, is really good and virtuous if it has been committed only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only to have reward in the hereafter. If you want some reward here, well, it's a trading. It's business. It's investment. It's not the bill that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like and accept from you. Only the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And reward if you need, only the reward in the hereafter. If such is the purification of the intentions and the motivation, then it is really a good action. It is real bill in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is to, the case is to the contrary, then it might be a very big good act, but it has no weight in the balance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. That is why we have a very famous hadith, and it has been reported by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And this hadith is so important, and it is held in such a high esteem by the muhaddithin, all the people mostly, who have collected ahadith in books. They start with this hadith. First of all, this hadith. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that the Prophet said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَىٰ فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. It has been accepted by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah. So most authentic hadith, and the report of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And this hadith, what is it saying? The basis and acceptability of any good deed, good action, is on the basis of the niyyah, the purpose, the intention, the motivation. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. Wa innamal likulli imrin ma nawa. And everybody would get from his action and act and deed what he had intended. What the intention he had, he will get only that thing. And now there is an example. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. What was hijrah? Hijrah was leaving your heart and home at Makkah and migrating to Medina. This is an act which is visible. Some Amr, some Batr, some other person, they are all leaving their homes here and migrating to Medina. They are making hijrah. For us people, for human beings, we shall call, he is also a muhajir. He has also come over from Makkah to Medina. He has also come from Makkah to Medina. But actually, in the heart of his heart, what was the real motivation? Why has he migrated? Whether he has migrated only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only due to the command or order of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then with the, you know, on the Day of Judgment, his hijrah will be counted in the account of Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُسِيبُهَا. And whosoever had migrated for some worldly gains. To give you an example, possible example, maybe somebody was a worker there, Muslim. He might be a carpenter. And his customers were the Muslims. Now the customers have gone, and the kuffar are not giving him any job. Now he thinks that, now I can't have any livelihood here. I must also go. So the real motivation of his going to Medina is not the commandment of Allah or his messenger, but his economic need. He wants business because he has lost his customers here. So he has to go there. So if that is the real cause, then he is migrating for the sake of this world, not for Allah, not for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second example, أَوِمْرَاتِ يَنْكِهُهَا. Maybe he wanted to marry a woman, a Muslim woman. And now that woman, Muslim woman, has migrated. Now he is also going to Medina. But with the sole aim of marrying that woman whom he loves. So now his hijrah will be counted for that woman, not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these are the things which we cannot know. Only Allah knows. Allah knows the intentions and the real purposes and the real motives of each and every action that we are performing. But we must know that the principle is that the actions and deeds have to be judged on the Day of Judgment on the basis of the intentions, not on the basis of what they look like, what they appear. They might appear to be acts of very high level of good and piety and righteousness and charity, but maybe that in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they amount to shirk. There's a very famous hadith, another hadith. The Prophet told sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that on the Day of Judgment, first of all, three persons will be brought to the book for accountability. One was killed while fighting for the cause of Allah, apparently, and he was taken to be a martyr, a shaheed. The other was a very rich man, and he used to give arms and charities and feed the needy and so on. And the third one was a very big alim, and he spread the knowledge and wisdom of deen to so many people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will count to them, I gave you this thing. I gave you health, bodily strength. What did you do for me? And that martyr would say, Oh Allah, qataltu fi sabilik. I went to war for your cause, to please you. And I laid down my life. And Allah would reply, kazzabta. You are telling a lie. You are fighting so that people should say, he is a very brave person. He is a very courageous person. That was your intention. And that has been said. So you have already got what you intended. There is nothing here for you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then order the angels who will drag him on his mouth and they will throw him in the fire of hell. The same thing would happen to the person who was rich and who was distributing alms and charity to the needy. The same would be the fate. You did this. You wanted that there should be praise for you. He is a very merciful person. So actually, that he will also be thrown in the fire of hell. And the same to the alim. You did this so that it should be said that he is a very big alim, he is a very knowledgeable person. What about his knowledge? And it has been said. What you needed, what you wanted, what you aimed, that has been given to you already. Now here is nothing for you. So actually this is the very fundamental thing, that motivations are most important. And motivations can be rectified only through iman. If you have deep iman, living iman, burning iman, pulsating iman, a conviction, then all your intentions would be only to do some good deed, only to please Allah, only to have a reward in the hereafter. But if you are earning money for your livelihood, well, this is also halal. You are doing through halal means. But you don't call it a charity. You don't call it a virtue. You are providing for your family. That is halal. You will be rewarded for that also. But virtue and birr is something else. Birr and virtue will be only that act, that deed of a person, what he is performing and committing only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have reward only in the hereafter. So that is actually the basic connection between iman and this discussion about virtue. There is a saying of Socrates. He said, knowledge is virtue and ignorance is evil. And this is correct. Because true knowledge is iman. True knowledge, correct knowledge, is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the knowledge of resurrection and hereafter. So it's very much in consonance with what I have been saying on the basis of the ahadith. Knowledge is virtue. And ignorance, because you don't know what is going to be the fate of your life, that you will be resurrected. You don't know Allah. You don't believe in Allah. It's ignorance. It is jahala. It is jahiliya. Actually, out of this jahala and jahiliya, only evil can come out. Nothing good can come out of it. The good can come out only out of knowledge, and knowledge, true knowledge, true philosophical knowledge, which we call iman. Now, as you can see, analyze, by the iman of Allah, we have a positive as well as a negative motivation for action. Positive, out of love for Allah. You love Allah, and Allah loves that you should do such and such acts. But it is out of love for Allah, if it is a positive motivation. And again, fear, that you have to stand one day before your Lord. Amma man khafa maqama rabbihi. So there is positive as well as negative motivation, both. And in the hereafter, in the iman or hereafter, again we have the positive. If you want to enter hell, it's negative. If you want to enter paradise, it's positive. If you want to enter paradise, you have to do good deeds. Otherwise, if you are doing bad deeds, you will be thrown in the fire of hell. So this motivation is provided by iman. Now the third article of faith, that is iman bil risala. Is there any relationship between this discussion on virtue and iman or faith in the prophethood, messengerhood, institution of wahi? There is. Because I told you time and again that every spirit needs some form for its manifestation. Now this form is given to us by the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A model, a balanced model. Because it so happens many a times that even a virtue, a good intention, if it goes and grows out of proportion, it becomes evil. Monasticism, what is monasticism? People left their homes and hearts, went to some caves, there they are worshipping, they have no families. But this was out of good intentions, not bad intentions. They wanted to love Allah. A person, he leaves the comforts of home life, and he leaves the comforts of the civic life, and he goes to the jungles, to the woods, to the caves, to the tops of the mountains. He's worshipping, he's making tapasya there. What for? It's out of love for Allah. But because this thing has grown out of proportion, it has become imbalanced, because we need a balance. You have to fulfill the obligations towards your body also. The Prophet said, inna li nafsika alayka haqqan, wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqan, wa inna li zawrika alayka haqqan. There are rights of your wives upon you. You have to fulfill the rights of your wives. Your body has also rights over you. You have to fulfill the rights of the body. You have to feed it. Don't starve it. It's actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you as a trust. You have to use it so that you can earn His pleasure. You can do good deeds with this body. You have to maintain it. You have to maintain it with halal, not haram. And you have to give it its due. إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْرِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your visitors have rights upon you. You must greet them with smiling faces. You must talk to them. They have rights upon you. It so happened, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. It's a very strange phenomenon. The father Amr ibn al-As was a big warrior and conqueror and a politician and a statesman, Amr ibn al-As, who conquered Egypt and who was the governor of Egypt in the days of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But his son Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he was a very pious person. He used to keep fasting every day without any interruption, every day. Then he used to stay standing all the night praying Allah, not sleeping even for a second. Now the reports came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is overdoing this. So he asked him, Ya Abdullah, awalam ukhbar, annaka taqumul layla wa tasumun nahar. I have been informed. Rather the translation exact would be, have I not been informed that you keep standing whole night and you are fasting every day? And he replied, Bala ya Rasulullah, this is so. And the Prophet said, La tafal, don't do it. فَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَإِنَّ لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. Your body, your nafs has also rights upon you. You have to fulfill those rights. Your wife has rights upon you. You have to fulfill those rights. Your friends, your relatives, they have rights upon you. You have to fulfill those rights also, complete also. So actually this balanced view can be given only by prophets. Otherwise, and when a man goes to the extremes, either he becomes a slave of this world, this worldly comforts, luxuries, and he is after these luxuries, although it might be through haram and illegal means, or he becomes an ascetic, and he leaves this world, and he goes to the jungles and woods, and to the caves, as we see that in the history of Christian monasticism, what happened? Because they are fighting their very nature, then nature so often, then nature overpowers them. What happens to them? Apparently they are not marrying, but what they do is more than evident to the whole of humanity. Because this is the call of nature. This is an instinct that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has produced in man. It needs its fulfillment. So the Sharia has given you the right way and right path of fulfilling your animal instincts also. So you have to be balanced in your attitude. It happened in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that three salas wa rahtin, there is a hadith in Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari. Three persons came to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they inquired about how many days he spent in Saum during the month, nafl, additional, voluntary, and for how long he used to pray during the night. Now the life of the Prophet was an open book. There was no secret about it. The wives told them that this is the condition. He sleeps also and he prays also. And sometimes he is fasting, sometimes he is not. So they thought it's not enough. But then they said, because he is a prophet, he is messenger of Allah, he is masoom, he has not committed any sin, and even if he has committed any mistake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already pardoned him and excused him for any error, any mistake that he might have committed. But this much ibadah, this much amount of worship is not sufficient for us. We are very sinful people, we need more ibadah. So one of them said, I will never marry. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no wife, no children, none to disturb me. The other said, I will keep standing the whole night, always. I will never, for even a second, I will lie on my cot or bed. The third one said, I will be keeping psalm every day without any break. The news came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became very angry. He called them. And he said, Wallahi inni la atqakum. I am the most pious amongst you. Don't think you can exceed the limits of my piety. But my sunnah, my practice is that I do pray at night and do sleep also. And I have married. I have wives. Not only one wife, I have wives, number of wives. And I fulfill their rights also. And then sometimes I keep the voluntary fast and sometimes I don't keep it. So, among whosoever doesn't like Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Take it from me. Whosoever turns away from my sunnah, he is not from amongst me. He is not my ummati. He is outside my ummah. So that was the big admonition that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to such persons. Now this balanced attitude, it can be given only through prophets. We need the form of virtue and the model of virtue which should be balanced, wholesome. That we can get from the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we find the ayah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have a good model in the life and personality of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to follow it. It's the most balanced life that Muhammad had lived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He married women. He was a caller towards the path of Allah. دَعْيَنِ اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. All these things together in one person. And we have to follow that wholesome example and model of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now this is the connection of Iman and Birr. That correct motivation is given by Iman Billah and Iman Bil Akhirah. And the form, a balanced form, that given by Iman Bil Risala. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Let me quote here, Kant. The father of modern philosophy, he is called the father of modern philosophy. Some of you must be knowing that he wrote a very famous book, which became very controversial. There was much resentment against him from the Christian world. The name of the book was A Critique of the Critique of Theoretical Reason. And there, in that book, he proved that there cannot be any proof of the existence of God. A Critique of Pure Reason, that's the title of his book. All the proofs that have been given for the existence of God, the Creator, he proved them to be false by dint of logic. Till his time, it was a Christian Europe. The atheism or secularism was not so prevalent, so there was much uproar against him. Then he wrote another book. Just we have the same example in Allama Iqbal. First he wrote Shikwa. He complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he wrote Jawab-e-Shikwa. The reply from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till such time that the Jawab-e-Shikwa was not written, there was much complaint about that point. Because it appeared that he was not so respectful towards Allah as he should be. He's complaining to him. But now when he wrote the Jawab-e-Shikwa, everything was clear. So the second book that Kant wrote was Critique of Practical Reason. And the essence of that Critique of Practical Reason is that there can be no morality without a belief in Allah, without a belief in God. No morality is possible at all So actually that is a very big sort of testimony that there can be no birr without the iman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is saying the same thing, which Kant had to say in the end, that there can be no morality. Even if the telling the truth is good, why should you tell the truth when you say it can do you some harm? You will have to sustain some loss if you tell the truth. You know that telling a lie is bad, but why shouldn't you tell a lie when you find that by telling a lie you can gain, you can have some profit, or at least you are saved from some punishment. Just tell a lie and you are saved of some punishment. So what is the motivation that will compel you to tell the truth and not to tell a lie, although the conditions they are what I explained? The only motivation can be that Allah likes me to tell the truth. Allah loves truth. Allah will reward me on the day of judgment if I tell the truth. Allah doesn't love the liars. Allah doesn't like that the lie should be told. Allah will punish me on the day of judgment if I tell a lie. And when a person knows that the punishment of the hereafter is much greater than the loss that I will have to sustain here if I tell a lie, well then his attitude would be that he will tell the truth, whatever may be the result here. And he will not tell a lie, whatever may be the consequences here. Because this world is limited, this life here is going to end one day, maybe tomorrow, maybe the very next moment it is going to end. But that life is eternal. So iman billah, iman bil akhirah, they give the firm foundation to morality. Even if you believe in ethical laws, even if you have some concept of moral values, you need some motivation to have a moral attitude in life. And that motivation cannot be got except through iman. All the other things, the hedonistic idea of ethics and the utilitarian theory of ethics, are all false. Actually, the only basis, the foundation stone of moral life can be belief in Allah. Actually, Quran uses more the belief in the hereafter as the foundation of this attitude of man in this world. Because in the Surah Alaq, after the first five ayat which were revealed as the first revelation they came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have three ayat which are very profound, very important, regarding the iman bil akhirah. Kalla innal insana layatgha. It's a general observation. Man does commit injustice. He is inclined to do injustice. Kalla innal insana layatgha. He exceeds the limits of justice. Why? Arraahu istaghna. Because he finds himself that nothing bad or injurious comes to him here. I have told a lie, I don't get even a blister on my tongue. I am eating haram and I don't have any pain in my tummy. So actually this world is governed by physical laws, not moral laws. That is why you are tempted. You go on eating haram and you are going on saying the false things from your tongues because no harm is coming to you immediately. But the remedy is Inna ila rabbika ruja. You have to return to your Lord. If you have this faith, the problem is solved. If you keep in your mind that although by telling a lie, I'm not going to sustain any pain here, there will be no blister or boil on my tongue, that by eating something which is haram, there will be no pain in your tummy. But you know that on the day of judgment, you'll have to have the punishment. If you have that faith, then you will take to the right attitude and not take to any wrong way. So that in three ayat, the whole philosophy of iman bil akhirah has been summed up. Kalla inna al-insana la yatgha arraahu istaghna inna ila rabbika ruja. I think this should be sufficient for our discussion about this part of the ayah. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. I promise that I will discuss the word kitab. Al-kitab, first of all, then you add alif lam to some nakira. Kitabun, and it is changed into al-kitab. It is an asloob of hasr. All the books are included now. And number two, actually all these books that were sent down, they were, so to say, the former editions of this very book, Al-Kitab Al-Quran. They were the former incomplete editions, preliminary editions. Torah was the edition of Al-Kitab. But now, because the human knowledge, human level of understanding and consciousness has increased, man has undergone a very long process of social evolution. Now this Al-Huda, Al-Kitab, has also undergone that evolution, and now final edition is Al-Kitab, Al-Quran. So both meanings we can have. So all these things are the articles of the faith. And after that we find, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَىٰ. Now after the mention of Iman in this ayah, we have the practical or actual manifestations of the spirit of Iman. If there is Iman within you, now it will manifest itself in an attitude, in a behavior, which has been described here. And the most important point is that the first manifestation of Iman that is mentioned here, the first and foremost, is charity. Not Salah. It's very noteworthy. Although we know that after Iman and Shahada, the most important thing is Salah. بولے الاسلام علا خمسن شہادت اللہ الہ الا اللہ وان محمد رسول اللہ واقام الصلاۃ وایتاء الزکات وصوم رمضان وحج البیت. But here the matter is different. صلاح and زکاۃ are coming after that. وآت المال علی حبہ ذوی القربى والیتامى والمساکین وابن السبیل والسائلین وفی الرقاب واقام الصلاۃ وآت الزکاۃ. Now this is the kalam of Allah, as I discussed in the very first lecture that I delivered here. Everything is important and decisive, meaningful. Nothing is without any meanings. Nothing has come here per chance. It's all intended with the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually this is to show that when the discussion would be about the pillars of Islam, after Iman will come Salah. But when the discussion is about charity, about birr, about righteousness, about virtue, now the sequence is different. After Iman, the first thing is that you should have the sentiment and emotions, and you should have sympathy with other fellow beings. You must feel yourself stirred up from within if you see someone is hungry. If you can feed him, and if you don't feed him, although you can feed him, you might be a very pious person otherwise, but you are not a burr. You are not a virtuous person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the point of view of the discussion on virtue and piety, first of all is human sympathy. Public service. Do good to others. As the Prophet said, خَيْرٌ نَاسِ مَنْ يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. The best among people are those who help other people, who benefit others, get benefits from them. They are the best of the people. And there is the other hadith also. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ يُحْرَمُ الرِّفْقَ فَقَدْ حُرِمَ الْخَيْرَ كُلَّهُ. Whosoever is deprived of this sympathy has been deprived of all good. There is no good in him whatsoever. If he is not a sympathetic person, he is stone-hearted, he is cruel, he is not moved at seeing a person, a fellow being in pain, in need, although he has the capacity to help him, he has the means to feed him, he can provide them with clothing, but if he is not doing it, he might be anything. Let me quote the ayah, the first ayah of the fourth part of the Quran, is Surah Al Imran, ayah number 92. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. It's most relevant and pertinent to the discussion of this ayah. The same word, birr. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ. You will never be able to achieve the level of birr, the station of birr, unless you can spend for the pleasure of Allah whatever is liked by you. Mimma tuhibbun. The things which you love, the things which you like for yourself, unless you can spend them for the pleasure of Allah, you cannot reach that level of bir at all. Impossible. The negation by this word, lam, noon, lan, lan tanalul birra, is very categorical, very emphatic. Impossible. No way. You cannot have any part, any portion of bir unless you have the capacity and capability of spending your beloved things, the things which you love, you like for yourself. Unless you can spend those for the cause of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah, you cannot be called a bir. You cannot have any bir. You can't be called a virtuous person. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And I infer from this that a person who is miserly, who is without this kindness of heart, who is not sympathetic towards his fellow beings, he might be a very big scholar, he might become a mufassir, he might become a muhaddis, he might become a mufti, he might become anything, but he cannot be virtuous according to the verdict of Quran. This is a categorical statement, but I dare make it, because this is the essence of this ayah. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. A miserly person who loves wealth, who doesn't spend his money, his wealth, his belongings for the benefit of humanity, and he keeps it. جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe to him. For him it is doom. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. He will be thrown in the fire of hell. So actually these people who don't have their sympathy, who can't spend their money for the benefit of their fellow beings, the people who are needy, people who can be helped, but they don't help them. Well, they can be anything. They may be worshippers. They may be standing throughout the night worshipping Allah. They may be anything, but they cannot be virtuous in the eyes of Allah according to this verdict of the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And that is why, out of the practical manifestations of the spirit of virtue, the first and foremost was وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. We shall continue this discussion tomorrow, inshallah. And I think we need another hour to complete our thinking about this ayah, Al-Azimah, Al-Mubarakah. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.